Last but certainly not least is the National Gallery of Victoria, which me and Jill, we confess to each other, this is our favourite building, right?
Not least, absolutely. We discovered that this is both of our favourite building in Melbourne. And we're in the 1960s, so we finished in the 1960s. A fine decade, if I could say so. There's all sorts of stories associated with this project, and it's probably worth just touching base on what the site was before it became the National Gallery of Victoria. It was the site of a circus, and so the whole of this large arts precinct site was Worth's Circus. And at some stage, it burned down, and what government was able to do when the circus burned down was to agree to break the lease, and the circus moved out. And I think they'd had their eye on this whole precinct as a cultural precinct for the city. So it allowed them to really start thinking about it in earnest. And in my understanding is that in the late 50s or mid-50s, the discussion about this becoming the new National Gallery of Victoria started to take place. And the current building, this is another interesting example. Sir Roy Grounds was the architect of this building. He, again, had never done much more than residential work when he did this project. So renowned as a residential architect, went on to do various other non-residential work, but basically that was his core strength. So it's quite extraordinary, really, that someone like him could step. It just shows a real architect that can step into the scale and the civic and the kind of cultural importance.
And he very much
like
ended
this.
Up committing the rest of his career to this project, right? Or the precinct anyway.
To the precinct,
yeah.
Very much so. So it was commissioned in the late 50s and opened in 1968. And the NGV already had a permanent collection, and they needed a home for it. So they had been building a collection, and this became the place that their collection was to be open to the public and become a place for cultural tourism of arts and culture, fine art as well.
A big step up from a circus, right?
So a big step up from a circus. There's always discussion about the fact that the Arts Centre Spire, the original Arts Centre Spire, was a kind of a reference to the circus tents that were originally on the site.
A tribute.
Now, Grounds tested quite a lot of the details that we see here on his residential project. So he was responsible for a very, very fine house, which was his own house in Hill Street in Toorak, which is almost a tiny version of this gallery. It has a similar similar highlight window details around the edge. It has a similar eave. So you can see him testing the details that got blown up into being civic scale when he was given this particular commission, and the courtyard as well. So he was a master of the courtyard. And this project had originally three courtyards, a perimeter building, palazzo kind of status to the street, and then three internal courtyards that with a donut circulation around them, but light coming right into the heart of the building. So again, practiced on his own house, invented there, and put into this civic institution as well. It's been through a couple of changes. In the 1990s, it was revisioned. It's probably worth commenting, though, on the interiors. When Grounds built the building, there was some concern from government that they'd given him too much to get done in a short time, which is understandable. And was there risk attached to him being given the whole commission, including all the interiors? So what the board of the gallery decided to do at the time was to commission interior architects to work with Grounds on how to house the collection. So when the building first opened in 1968, all the interiors were done by the Featherstones. And Grounds worked, knew them very well. They were colleagues and they were the same generation of designers. Again, young, inexperienced, but took the collection of the NGV and purpose-designed display cases, coffee tables. We all know the Featherstone chairs. All of that stuff went into the NGV as a fit-out for the permanent collection of the gallery. And it was a very pivotal moment in Melbourne's history where that idea of cultural tourism being taken to the population became huge. And everyone came to the NGV. Everyone came to the city, visited the NGV, was really proud of our building, was really proud of our collection, and started to appreciate both Australian art and also international art.
Yes, and it acts as a doorstep also for international exhibitions that continue on today, right? When you have a building like this, you can host also itinerant art events that today are characteristic, you know, that the art is exported very, very much from countries that perhaps have too much, you know, like mine, Italy. and this brings me to the fact that there
boasting?
Was some... No, I'm using this as an excuse to talk about the fact that one of my connational of mine, an architect, was involved also in future renovations of this building with some controversy.
We will get onto that. Let's talk about what it is, the architectural style, because in my mind, I call this contemporary classicism, because it echoes the proportions, the scale, the motifs, if you like, from classical architecture. We don't see Doric columns. We don't see anything like that.
There's an arch, though.
There is an arch. And the other thing that it does is it uses stone. So it chooses to build the building. The building is not built in stone. It's actually clad in stone. And it's clad in our local basalt, our bluestone. So this kind of very contemporary palazzo is made local by its materials.
And the use of a local stone is very important, because also reveals the beautiful tonal contrast between different types of bluestone. Because we used to walk on bluestone in Melbourne, right? It's a typical footpath material. But here, the genius of the architect was to take that and put it on the wall and suddenly give it a different life. And you realize how that grey stone is not so much grey, but sometimes it's got hues of red, or perhaps certainly different shades of grey. Somebody might see even some hints of green in it. So it's actually take a monumental character, and it's a local stone that it's now becoming this beautiful display wall, which is not also... It's not necessarily something that's leaving people out of the building, but it's somehow drawing attention and making you willing to go inside, which is a theme we find also in another building at the opposite side of Swanston Street, where sometimes the formal simplicity can also be inviting and not necessarily an impermeable wall.
Probably the curiosity of the arch as the entry is just like a magnet, isn't it? You know, you've got a very imposing civic facade and a mouse hole that entices you to go in, and a very intriguing water wall as well. So let's get to the renovation. So in 1997, the building was renovated by Mario Bellini, an Italian architect who came to Melbourne, filled in the courtyards, made quite a lot of interesting, I would call them postmodern changes to the building, introduced some angles into the orthogonal plan, not always successfully, in my view, but I think the NGV's collection, they were busting at the guts. They had to kind of fill the courtyard spaces to allow their collection more space. So Bellini did a lot of work. He also introduced various shifts. I don't think he knew what hit him when he proposed to demolish the water wall. There were two very, very controversial things that Bellini proposed. One was to demolish the water wall. He thought it was a bit ludicrous. You know, what is this? And it was so embedded in Melbourne's cultural history that everybody who cared came out and made a lot of fuss. And we managed to hang on to it. He fixed all the problems with it. Obviously, Grounds built the gallery in a time where we maybe hadn't got our water filtration systems working very well. There was mould growing. It wasn't really engineered properly. So Bellini did get it engineered properly, and he left it there. He shifted it back. So it's in a slightly different location, but it is still the welcoming, gesture of the gallery. And it's been, I find it interesting, there's quite an important Melbourne crime writer who, I keep talking about crime, don't I, where he talks about the villain of the piece actually is hiding from the police, and he puts his hand in the water of the wall. And you can, if you're from Melbourne, you read the book and you know he's in the gallery looking out on St Kilda Road, watching the police outside through that water wall.
Pretending to be an innocent child, like most
exactly,
children do.
That's right. We've all got memories of that. Right. There's some children there doing it at the moment.
Exactly that. It's very interesting you mentioned Bellini, an Italian architect, came in and somehow reshuffle things without understanding the initial concept. What makes it even more interesting?
Are you prepared to admit that? This is controversial.
Because the reason why I'm prepared to admit it, because I understand that Roy Grans actually traveled to Italy, and it was inspired by two museums there, the Castello Sforzesco in Milano and Museo di Capodimonte in Naples.
Yes.
And so he understood, well, the gallery of art can be a castle that hosts and protects and defends the cultural beauties that are inside. And so very much this is a fortress, right? And the fact that Bellini somehow didn't...
Understand
or ignore that. Perhaps he understood it, but he preferred to ignore it.
Yeah, it is interesting. The second very controversial thing that Bellini proposed was the beautiful Leonard French ceiling that, again, is one of Melbourne's great ceilings. We've got some great ceilings. That is one of the... I often point out Swanston Street as the home of Melbourne's great ceilings. And Bellini proposed... He didn't propose to demolish it, but he wanted to move it. So he wanted to move the Great Hall and put it perpendicular to St Kilda Road rather than parallel. And once again, the arts community and the architectural community just came up fighting and saying, look, two things about this gallery you are not allowed to touch, and they're the two. So thankfully he didn't shift that, and it's a very proud Melbourne hall, that's for sure.
And essentially you speak about the interiors, because I think that the theme of interiors, and this probably takes a bit to the future of the NGV, is the theme of the interior is probably also going to be the centerpiece to some extent of the extension of the gallery, which is also another source of controversy of recent times, as always the case.
Any public building, you know, yeah. We talked about it with Fed Square, any public building gets people who love it and those that hate it. The most important thing, and I think this building exemplifies it perfectly, is we can either build something that 100 years later or 200 years later, or in the instance of if we were in Italy, 1,000 years later, we're still really proud of it and we still support it as an important cultural edifice. Or do we build something that was a bit of a mistake that we need to change, or even in the worst case, demolish in the future because we haven't built it with enough civic pride, with enough understanding of what its long-term purpose is. This is a great case in point, where this building looks pretty much the way that it looked in 1968 when it opened. And I think, to your point, the challenge of the architect of the new NGVC is to do something that sits as a companion to this, that is equally valuable in the minds of the city.
So what a wonderful way to close. We'd celebrate 100 years. We spoke also about the future to some extent. We celebrate 100 years of Melbourne, first of all, but also in doing so, I have to thank you, Jill, for helping us to celebrate the Registration Board of Victoria that has organised this tour, as well as Open House Melbourne that has helped us to showcase and disseminate the fact that we're 100 years old. And somehow by having that institution, we've also helped to have a good city to live in, right?
I think one of the most interesting things about the tour that we've just done is we have looked at 10 buildings, each from a different decade, each still standing, and each with a legacy of design, input from skilled professionals that they've all gone the distance. And we've managed to find a building in Melbourne from every decade that we are really proud of.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jill. Thank you on behalf of the ARBV, and thank you also to Open House for allowing us to celebrate our centenary with these wonderful examples of architecture. And thank you to our listeners who stood with us and hopefully have learned a lot more about Melbourne.
Thank you so much, Giorgio. It's been fantastic to be part of this.